Oh no, we're changing it up. Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer, The Mental Breakdown. I'm Kenna.
And I'm Riff Raff.
Oh my gosh, he doesn't sound like that.
From Rocky Horror Picture?
Oh, I'm thinking of the rapper.
It's amusing. I'm Kowal.
Special guest star today.
Yeah.
Special guest host. How's it going?
Pretty good. Just a very stressful day. I was telling Kenna it took me about 2 hours to run 2 errands today. Traffic was insane, and I immediately came home and decompressed.
I don't know what's going on. People might be, like, trying to get everything ready for the holiday, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Just 4th of July.
Around. Yeah. Ooh, well, we are getting ready for a way better holiday, which is the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival. We're going in, like, 10 days. And, well, when you hear this, it'll be 10 days from now. And that is so exciting. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. And I think we're just as excited to find out where it's going to be held next year.
Boston.
We're hoping for Boston.
Boston. Boston? Boston?
Yeah, Boston. Boston.
Your cousin from Boston.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I do have a mental breakdown today, but if you want to give everyone our handles before we start.
Sure. You can check us out on social media anywhere at Diagnosing a Killer, other than X, formerly known as Twitter, which is at Killer Diagnosis. We have a PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, all at Diagnosing a Killer. We also have a Patreon set up for your pleasure. We have 4 tiers there. First tier gets ad-free mental breakdown episodes. Tiers 2, 3, and 4 get ad-free all episodes. And 3 and 4 get that added bonus episode towards the end of the month, every month. You can also do custom donations as well on that Patreon if you don't. If you're like, I can't really want to do the thingy that is like $5 or $3, you can just customize your donation amount to $1.
Whatever you think, whatever you think.
You used to be able to do 50 cents, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Everybody in the club getting tips.
50 cent.
50.
50 cent.
50 cent.
Yeah, definitely go check out that Patreon. We just released a new bonus episode because they come out at the end of every month. Mm-hmm. And we just tackled Robert Hansen. And that one was really interesting, really gross, but interesting. Yeah. And a good suggestion over there.
For sure. We were even talking about maybe updating some of our merchy merch.
Sometime by the end of the year.
Sometime by the end of the year. Yeah, no promises
we got
yet.
Some things in the works here.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, you ready for this one?
I am.
Today, we are going to be talking about somatic symptom disorder.
Oh.
There's no content warning.
Oh, okay.
Somatic symptom disorder is characterized by an extreme focus on physical symptoms such as pain and or fatigue. This extreme focus can cause major emotional distress and other problems with typical functioning.
Is this like hypochondria?
So I'll get there.
Okay.
Although some people do experience different types of physical pain due to true illness, people with somatic symptom disorder will react to the symptoms in an abnormal way.
It's somatic?
Somatic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Furthermore, someone with somatic symptom disorder will usually seek out medical care for things that would seem like no big deal to the average person.
Okay.
So their chest might be hurting a little bit, but it's not like chest pains. Mm-hmm. And they'll go say, I don't know, I have like a weird feeling. And then the doctor will check them out and it'll be fine.
Okay.
And since somatic symptom disorder is kind of difficult to say a billion times, I'm going to shorten it to SSD.
Gotcha.
Individuals struggling with SSD may have multiple visits to the emergency room and or urgent care for minor to no physical injuries. When these concerns about one's health take over the person's thoughts, it can become extremely debilitating and can trickle into other parts of their lives. Additionally, people with SSD often do not realize that they are struggling with this disorder, as their physical pain, thoughts, and emotions are typically very true to the brain. So it's like, I don't even think I have SSD. I don't even know what that is. I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah. Right? So, yeah, it's you wholeheartedly believe it. And we've definitely listened to, I'm sure listeners have also heard or seen true crime cases where people have had been manipulated in a certain way that they believe wholeheartedly that these are the things or acts that they maybe committed out of a justification of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just a small example of what you're saying. Which is, it is very real to the person.
Absolutely. And we said hypochondria just a second ago, so that is actually a different type of disorder, which I'll explain, and I'll also explain the difference. Because I thought somatic symptom disorder was the same thing as hypochondria.
Yeah.
But it's not. So the overwhelming overflood to the brain that says, no, I'm actually, like, something's going on, along with the symptoms, the physical symptoms that someone does have, can truly convince the person that they are seriously ill.
Does this also, like, flood into phantom pregnancy?
No, I didn't actually talk about that at all, which is interesting. Okay. I actually don't know much about that.
Yeah, because with phantom pregnancy or you believing that you're pregnant, in some cases actually give you pregnancy symptoms, like morning sickness or, you know, the feeling of maybe like a bloated tummy or, you know, even physically taking on what some physical symptoms of being pregnant are.
So yes, in that sense, yes, because I feel like a lot of these internal thoughts and emotions, like, they can make that pain feel more than it is. For example, like, you know better than anybody, when you were driving home the other day and I had a huge panic attack and I literally grabbed your shoulder. I said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And you were like, what? And I was like, I don't know, something just happened. Like, I was having such bad symptoms of anxiety that it made me, like, lose my vision and I got, like, a weird head rush.
Yeah.
Like, it literally caused that to
happen.
It
scared the shit out of me.
It scared the shit out of me. It was going 80 miles down the road.
Yeah, I thought maybe you had seen, like, an accident ahead or something. Like, your reaction was so strong.
Yeah.
That it was just like, yeah. I was like, oh no!
Not fun. So essentially, my anxiety caused that physical symptom, just like this. Like, the feeling and thinking about, oh my God, I'm like, something's really wrong, could potentially make those feelings or symptoms stronger.
It's mind over matter.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. But again, if you don't understand that you're suffering with this disease, or disorder, excuse me, you wouldn't know how to override those feelings.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't even know that there was something abnormal about what was happening.
That's true. You just believe in your whole heart that you are suffering from an ailment or a pain.
So just going back a little bit of history about this disorder, the Egyptians and Sumerians were actually reported to have utilized the notions of melancholia and hysteria as early as the year 2600 BC.
Hell yeah.
We always hear hysteria.
Yeah.
During the 17th century, knowledge of the central nervous system grew, and it became clear that numerous inexplainable illnesses could be linked to the brain rather than physical symptoms.
Huh.
In the 17th century. They're like, oh, you might have something wrong with your brain, not your body.
I mean, this sounds so ignorant, but do you think that's why they removed the brain from the body when they would mummify you?
Yeah, probably.
It's because that is something that has been known to rot, and in order to preserve the body, you would remove that.
Or to try to study it, at the very least, you know? But also, yeah, if there's something wrong with your brain and it's not your body, take your brain out so that your soul can descend or ascend or whatever.
Yeah.
Descend into hell.
Maybe the brain is the limitation, you know? That's what keeps you in your bodily, or your earthly being, is your brain.
Remove it. Get rid of it.
Dang, Egyptians are so cool.
So, Thomas Willis, who is widely recognized as the father of neurology, recognized hysteria in women and hypochondria in men as brain disorders. Because only women can be hysterical, right?
And only men can have hypochondria.
Okay. Yeah. Thomas Sydenham, a different Thomas, would later contribute significantly to the belief that hysteria and hypochondria are mental rather than physical.
Mm.
Wilhelm Stiekel, a German psychoanalyst, was actually first to introduce the term somatization, and one Paul Bricquet was the first to characterize what is now known as somatic symptom disorder.
Hmm.
I think it's Bricquet. I think Paul might have been French.
Yeah.
Bricquet. Paul would do research on subjects who had been unwell for most of their lives and complained of a variety of symptoms from various areas of the body. Despite many tests, treatments, etc., the symptoms would continue. Somatic symptom disorder was later dubbed Bricquet syndrome in his honor, because he was the one that decided, or not decided, but figured out, like, oh, there's nothing physical wrong with you at all.
Yeah.
It's definitely a mental thing.
I think it is Bricquet syndrome.
Bricquet. It's a B-R-I-Q-U-E-T.
Yeah, but the E-T in French is...
Pacha.
Yeah. It's not a croissant, it's a croissant.
Oh, yes, croissant. So that's a little bit about the history. SSD is a somewhat common disorder, occurring in about 5 to 7% of the adult population. Women are actually 10 times more likely to develop SSD than men, and the onset of the disorder typically begins by age 30. However, it can more rarely occur in any age. And I say it like that because I'm like, I'm almost 30, and I'm like, this is me.
Kenna just has a little tiny journal in her room of like, okay, this is the onset for specific disorders.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh gosh, like 17. I don't have to worry about whatever.
Actually, I was talking to one of my coworkers today, if you're listening, hello, and I was telling her about the case that I'm doing, or this episode that I'm doing, and I was talking to her about it. She goes, I feel like I might have that. And she said, I have this other blah, blah, blah that's comorbid with that. And I was like, yeah, but how old are you? And she told me her age. I was like, oh, you would have already gotten it.
You would have been fine.
Yeah, you're good. She's like, oh, okay, cool. Felt so cool. So, like I said, it typically begins by age 30, but it can actually occur at any age. Of course, not every single individual is going to be the same.
Why do you think it's 10 times more likely in women?
I think because women have a lot more hormonal imbalances in their body, like especially if they try to have kids or with their puberty that happens. And I think that can trigger the disorder, having all those new like symptoms of physical pain. Yeah. Not pain, but physical symptoms.
Do you think
I just think that's my, yeah, that's my reasoning.
Do you think that maybe, I'm going to go societal here, standards of what gender is, that women tend to feel, or young girls tend to feel like their position is to be weaker or meeker. They're more, therefore more likely to be sick.
Yeah, that on top of the fact that men are supposed to not tell you if they're in pain or they're feeling a certain way.
Yeah.
Societally speaking, like, oh, just rub some dirt in it, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of men, if they were experiencing these symptoms, may not speak out about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. We're both interesting.
We are.
When someone is experiencing somatic symptom disorder, it can come with a number of different physical symptoms. These include pain, which is the most commonly reported symptom, fatigue or overall weakness, shortness of breath, and many others. Again, not one person's the same.
Mm-hmm.
These physical symptoms may be mild to severe, and there may be one or more occurring at the same time, depending on the person. While most people experiencing SSD will report these physical symptoms, the main signs of SSD are how people think, feel, and behave in response to the symptoms.
So it's like an overall, like, culmination of a few different variables for this disorder.
So, like, just having physical pain and, like, recognizing it is not SSD. It's the way that someone reacts and then overreacts to it or believes, you know, how what it is versus what it could be or whatever.
It's how they, like, analyze themselves, how they process that pain, what they choose to do with it, if anything.
Of course, yeah. People struggling with SSD may feel concerned that mild physical symptoms are a sign of a more serious health condition, may feel extreme anxiety about their physical sensations. They may feel that their healthcare provider, who they usually see frequently, is not taking their physical symptoms as seriously as they should. Those are just three, you know, examples.
Yeah. I think I've seen the Scrubs episode.
Yeah. Grey's Anatomy. People with SSD may also be unusually sensitive to side effects of any medication they're prescribed. And they also may become dependent on others in terms of demanding emotional support for how they're feeling or feeling upset or angry when they're not believed or their needs aren't met.
This is really, I would say, intricate.
Yeah, it really is. It's not just, again, like, it's not just like, oh, you have this physical pain and you think it might be something more serious. It's like, no, they have to go through all the stops, like getting it checked out over and over, having recurring thoughts and you know, obsessions about the symptoms.
Reading, yeah, exactly. Reading the back of the label and seeing the side effects, like, oh, diarrhea, but it actually was the burrito you had for lunch.
Right. And, like, well, I pointed to me, like, off mic. Y'all couldn't see that. But I say that because, like, you know, I have medication anxiety. Whenever I get prescribed a new medication, I'm not even exaggerating. I'll, like, if I'm by myself, I'll text someone, like, okay, I'm taking the medication now, and I'll text them in 20 minutes and say I didn't have a reaction, like, because I'm so scared. And that whole 20 minutes, I'm freaking the fuck out. Like, something's gonna happen, like, I'm gonna have a reaction. And then, of course, it never does, but I can definitely relate to this somewhat. I don't think I have it, but I can relate.
I definitely feel like I've been difficult about medication. I feel like I hardly ever take a Tylenol unless I need to. But Kenna's really bad about it.
I'm afraid of it.
She's a tortured soul. She doesn't believe in anything a doctor doesn't tell her. You're probably already aware that craft beers have exploded in popularity over the past decade. But what you might not know is that there are thousands of awesome craft beers being produced by these new microbreweries every day. With Craft Beer Club, each order will showcase two breweries from different regions in the U.S. and includes four beer styles with a brand new box with each shipment. You will also receive publications that detail the history about the featured breweries, tasting notes, pairing options, and maybe even a little trivia. Click on our link in the show notes and receive an exclusive offer today with Craft Beer Club.
I would rather complain all day than take some fucking Aleve, yeah. Like, to get rid of my headache.
She won't take, like, a DayQuil if it's a day expired.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely won't.
Which, you know, the expiration date is only there to let you know how potent it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I'm well aware of, like, no. the facts.
She but
I'm
also like, kill her.
No, I'm not risking it. Not risking. I like life. Thank you. I choose life. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No, you'd just be more frustrated about the fact that it didn't do shit.
Yeah, that's true. As far as comorbid disorders go, about 30 to 60% of people with SSD will also have generalized anxiety disorder, major depressive disorder, many phobias, or others. Furthermore, SSD can be associated with true physical disorders such as IBS, fibromyalgia, and other chronic diseases, which can make it difficult because those do come with pain.
Yeah.
And then that manifests into something else. Mm-hmm. While the cause of SSD is unknown, symptoms of the disorder may come to the surface when a heightened awareness of a specific physical sensation occurs. Personally, I believe that the onset of this disorder is at an older age, because around 30 is when people start to truly become aware of themselves and how they would react in certain situations.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I don't know. Also, because I'm, like, close to 30, so I'm thinking from, like, a personal perspective. Mm-hmm. Some people probably get that at different ages, but yeah. For me, personally.
I just feel like I'm on my way out. My back hurts.
Eat ibuprofen every day.
Yeah. Not ibuprofen.
No, not me. I can't do that.
But... Neither.
Oh, you can't either?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You, me, and Cameron, we all had a sensitivity towards it.
I'm not trying to get some swelly lips.
I know. That's swelly lips and swelly fangs. Some swelly beans.
We have problems. It's fine.
So many allergens, like, that we've developed.
Oh, I'm allergic to Texas.
Yeah.
Like, I've figured it out.
I'm allergic to California. Kind of scared to go. Yeah. Anytime that I used to work for a grocery store, and every time we would get their floral stuff in from California, I just hate it. I just would avoid half of the store for an entire day.
Interesting. Yeah.
It was really bad.
Well, we don't need to go.
It's the sulfates. I won't drink wine from there either.
Okay, well, we're getting back to the story. Back to the information. When it comes to people with SSD, it is common that they will be more likely to abuse drugs or alcohol, as this may be a way to help them forget or numb the pain they're feeling and or mask the emotions that arise from the pain.
Oh, that's rough.
So it's like, I don't like this pain. I'm going to try to get rid of it by drinking or smoking or doing whatever.
Self-medicating.
Or I don't like how I'm reacting to the pain, so I'm going to numb it with alcohol.
That's awful. It's awful that someone has to resort to self-medicating like that. Right. Like, it's just, I mean, but it's a fact. It's a fact of life.
And personally, I think this is one of those, like, icky disorders. Not in, like, the disorder kind of way, but I mean, like, it's harsh because it tricks the person into not even recognizing that they might need help.
Yeah.
Like, other disorders, like depression and stuff like that, I feel like it's kind of like, okay, maybe I need to get a little help, or it's really recognizable in a friend or a family member.
Yeah.
This one, I feel like it's kind of sneaky.
It sounds like there's, like, a pretty, like, there's tall tale signs, like you're saying, essentially, about things like depression or schizophrenia. Yeah. But you're right. Something like this, there's one part of your life, two parts of your life, three parts of your life, and you don't realize they're connected.
Yeah, exactly.
That is scary.
And not for nothing, but, like, the average person that doesn't do what we do and doesn't listen to our podcast, like, our listeners are great, like, they wouldn't know this unless they researched it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know this until I researched it, you know? Yeah, it's really a shitty. Mm. Other complications of the disorder include problem with relationships, unemployment, or trouble keeping a job due to absences or other reasons, and financial stress. Obviously, because if you're going to the doctor a lot to get unnecessary testing, you know, over and over, you're going to have to spend some money.
Right.
Some studies suggest that people who experience certain life traumas can be more likely to develop SSD in their adulthood. These include early childhood trauma, insecure attachment, poor self-esteem, and others.
Do you think, I don't know if our family member's second wife might have had this?
That's a good point. I think it may have started out like this, but it developed into Munchausen.
Yeah.
Because I think she definitely had Munchausen towards the end.
Yeah.
But this is a good point. It might have started out like this. And that's a good reason to be aware of these things and get the treatment when you recognize mm-hmm. symptoms before it can turn into something yeah. else, you know?
This person came into our life much later in her life, so I'm wondering if it didn't start out in her 30s as something mm. like this. Then by the time our family member met her, you know, she was much older, the disorder developed into right. Munchausen.
And you know she wasn't getting treatment.
Right.
If there was any diagnosis or anything.
Yeah.
But well, there probably wasn't even a yeah. diagnosis.
yeah. Well, she did enjoy the shopping, so I'm wondering if that was her vice. Instead yeah. of the drinking for self-medication, maybe the shopping was.
That's a good point, yeah. Just lastly, psychosocial factors such as unemployment or reduced job performance may also be the developing factor for SSD. Mm. So that's a good, yeah, certain things can happen in your life, and it's just like, well, now I'm going to worry about everything. And then yeah. that worry, you know, gets bigger and bigger, and it can turn into this.
Hmm.
Researchers also believe that there may be a genetic component when it comes to SSD as well. One study found that genetic components contributed 7 to 21% of somatic symptoms, with the remainder being left to environmental factors. So 21% is not that much, as opposed to 80% environmental or 79% environmental. Mm-hmm. So it seems like environmental is, like, the kicker here. You know?
Yeah.
Those who experience negative psychological characteristics are also at higher risk for developing somatic symptoms, and having them last for a longer time after appearance as well.
Hmm.
Furthermore, individuals raised in high-risk environments where expressing emotion is considered a negative thing may be at increased risk for developing SSD.
That makes
sense.
Because
you weren't allowed to, and now you have all the freedom to.
Yeah.
It's going to be overabundant. If someone believes that themselves or a loved one are experiencing symptoms of SSD, it's important to seek healthcare advice. A primary care physician can do a basic physical to rule out anything physical, and will also take a health history in order to determine if anything else could be going on. If the test suggests that there is nothing physical happening, the doctor will be able to provide a referral to a psychiatric professional, who can determine further what the cause of symptoms is. In order to be diagnosed with SSD, a person must have one or more symptoms that cause distress or disrupt daily life for at least 6 months. They must also have excessive thoughts, feelings, or behaviors in response to the symptoms that meet at least one of the following criterion.
Oh.
Overly excessive and long-lasting thoughts about the seriousness of the physical symptoms, continuously high levels of anxiety about health or physical symptoms, an extreme amount of time and energy focused on physical symptoms and health concerns. If someone is diagnosed with SSD, the goal of treatment will be to manage the physical symptoms in order to try to lessen the somatic response to them, which I thought was interesting.
You would think that you wouldn't treat it because it's not as quote-unquote severe
yeah.
as you would think.
But we're not going to treat how you're reacting. Yeah, we're going to get to the base. Like, maybe Kenna Salinas takes some fucking Aleve every once in a while and you won't have those pains that'll turn into anxieties about those pains.
Yeah, there's you know? Literally people that take Tylenol every day.
I know.
And it's fine.
It's just fine. On top of this, general psychotherapy is usually recommended for individuals with SSD, specifically cognitive behavioral therapy. Which, honestly, CBT is the fucking goat, because it can treat so many disorders.
Yeah.
If you have SSD, CBT can be helpful in evaluating your feelings and beliefs about your physical symptoms and health in general, finding ways to reduce stress and anxiety about your symptoms, stopping the focus as much on your physical symptoms, recognizing what seems to make the physical symptoms worse, finding ways to stay active and social, and overall function better in your daily life. Which, recognizing what seems to make the physical symptom worse is, like, so true.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, that you're causing that, like, again, using myself as an example, when you drink the next day, you're probably going to be anxious. You mm-hmm. might have a headache because you drank the night before.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, I'm dying.
You know, yeah. The next morning. Why? Why is this happening to
Why
me?
Do I have a headache?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Silly. If necessary, a psychiatrist can also prescribe an antidepressant, but this is not in all cases. When SSD is left untreated, it can lead to negative episodes that can get worse. These include limited daily function, unemployment or poor work performance, psychological disability, decreased quality of life, and, again, alcohol and substance use disorders. However, SSD is very treatable, and many people see extreme improvement after beginning treatment. There are other types of disorders that are similar to SSD, but can also be the cause behind some of these symptoms. The first is illness anxiety disorder, aka hypochondria. So it's a little different.
Illness anxiety disorder.
Yes. This is a mental health condition in which a person is preoccupied and excessively worried about having an illness or getting an illness. Unlike SSD, a person experiencing illness anxiety disorder typically does not experience physical symptoms.
So it's not called hypochondria anymore.
Well, it's kind of interchangeable.
Okay.
But yeah, illness anxiety disorder, aka hypochondria, they have all of, like, the thoughts and feelings about getting sick or being sick, but they don't experience the pain that leads them to those thoughts. They just have the thoughts. The other one is called conversion disorder or functional neurological symptom disorder. This is a condition involving the function of your nervous system with no evidence of physical or neurological causes. This disorder can cause symptoms that affects one's perception, sensation, or mobility. While people with conversion disorder frequently experience depression or anxiety, excessive worrying and distress are not part of the disorder. So it's the opposite.
Okay.
They have all the physical symptoms, but not the aftermath.
Hmm.
And lastly, if you find yourself with a diagnosis of SSD, taking the following steps may be beneficial in your treatment. Developing a supportive relationship with your PCP or primary care provider. Only keeping one primary care provider, as having many can be confusing and can waste money with unnecessary procedures. And seeing your healthcare and mental health care providers regularly. And that's all I have.
Interesting stuff.
I said it like I was going to keep going and then I didn't.
And that's it.
Yeah, so that's somatic symptom disorder with a little peppering in of hypochondria. And yeah, so I thought that was really interesting because, again, when I looked up the disorder, I was like, oh, hypochondria through and through. And now I know the difference. So
It's not. Wow.
But like I said, you know, this disorder is seemingly pretty difficult to recognize, especially in yourself. So if you notice any loved ones or yourself having, now that you have this knowledge, you know, having any of these symptoms, like the best thing you can do, reach out to your healthcare provider, do your own research. We always suggest to people to do their own research and get that second opinion, because honestly, the first step to feeling better is knowing that there's nothing physically wrong with you.
Yeah.
If I had all of the resources and money in the world, I swear to God, I would get a full body exam and a brain scan.
I feel like
I literally have this disorder.
I feel like every person would.
I've been saying all episode, I definitely don't have this.
I definitely don't have this, but I wish I had a full body scan. She says.
No, I don't mean to make light of it, but I'm serious. Like, I really do feel like I resonate with this. I don't know if I meet, like, the full criterion for the disorder, but I hope I educated someone with this info.
I think I'd be interested to look into the cultural differences between different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least, like, here in America, we don't have free healthcare.
Yeah.
So things like, it's not just having anxiety about not feeling well. It's having anxiety about the financial cost. It's having the anxiety about which healthcare provider. Is this the right person? Is this person enacting fraudulently, you know? just things like that. Who's going to accept my insurance?
Yeah, exactly. That's
how
so true.
How much is this going to cost me? Copay or what, you know, or not? Or God forbid not God forbid you don't have insurance. A lot of people don't have insurance. So I'm wanting to know, and I want to look it up.
Yeah, look the it difference. Up. I know for a fact there's been studies done on the cultural effects of this disorder and, like, the differences. However, I wasn't comfortable writing down what I read because I wasn't 100% sure it was accurate. So, but there is stuff out there on there.
Yeah.
On that. So, yeah, we can definitely look more into that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, like, just the anxiety of not just the disorder, but the concern and the money and all the time and patience that it takes to do all that.
Right.
Is alone, you know, can be an issue and a contributing factor to that anxiety.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, environmental is like 80% of the root cause of this disorder as they think. So environmental, obviously different cultures and different regions and areas are going to affect that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's my mental breakdown.
Interesting. Can you read it?
I think I made my point.
I think I've made my point.
Anyway, we are so excited to see everyone at the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival.
Don't forget,
it's my birthday on Sunday.
you guys come and you mention us and be like, I know you already.
Yes.
Free koozie. Just telling you.
Oh, fuck yes.
Free koozie. Exclusive
free merch. Selfie.
Free selfie.
We weren't going to charge anyway, but free selfie.
We're not in a position to.
Yeah.
But yes, free koozie.
And I'd be down with that.
Again, these are exclusive merch items that you can only get at TCPF.
That's very true. And also, don't forget, we're going to start to change our merch look, like, throughout the end of the year. We're definitely going to have some new designs in the work and some just different. Like, I think we're going to revamp our merch and just get some new shit going because we're excited. We're getting this done.
She's really excited.
Really excited
for Denver. Oh, God, I'm going to cry.
Anyway, and I'm going to be old. I think that's, like, my mind trying to trick me that I'm going to be
old. You're going to be 30?
I'm going to be 29.
Well, you're going to be 29.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay, I got a year. Don't give me that year. Look yet.
You're fine. You find your birth certificate tomorrow, and it's a year later.
That would mean I was 28.
You're already 30. No. No, a year earlier. No, yeah. A year earlier would be
if I was younger. Born a year earlier, I would be 30 this year. If I was born a year later.
All right.
We got to go. Love you.
Bye.
Looking for a new perfume or cologne to match your style? Scentbird has got you covered. With over 600 scents to fall in love with, Scentbird is a fragrance subscription box that will give you plenty of choices. Just choose what you would like from their best sellers, activate your subscription, and receive your first 120 spray bottle. Click the link in the show notes now to receive an exclusive offer with Scentbird.